Sports Radio 950 KJR. This is Sounders Weekly with your host, Jackson Feltz.
Good evening. Welcome in, everybody. Jackson Feltz here. Good to be with you on this Tuesday. I should say Wednesday evening. God, I'm so used to saying Tuesday evening. It's a special Wednesday edition of Sounders Weekly because, of course, we had Seattle Kraken hockey on KJR last night. So Sounders Weekly moving to Wednesday this week. Good to have you with us on this special day, wherever you may be listening. Big show here tonight. We'll have Garth Lagerway joining us in just a matter of moments. I was able to catch up with Garth for a good 35 minutes yesterday. Long conversation. You're going to hear part of that tonight, part of that next week, as Garth and I talked about, well, pretty much everything under the sun. You know, we hit everything from this last game against Vancouver, the 1-1 draw, which we'll get into. We talked about the playoffs ahead, Real Salt Lake coming up. We'll get into that. Of course, Tacoma Defiant season has ended. I believe that you'll hear that on next week's show. CONCACAF Champions League. This is a really interesting point that Garth and I talked about that you'll hear coming up in just a few minutes. You know, with the draw against Vancouver, the Sounders now finished in second place, and they got Cascadia Cup, which is great, but they also got a berth in the 2022 CONCACAF Champions League. Now, we remember that last year the Sounders got into Champions League, and this was in the start of 2020. It didn't go the way any of us wanted. And looking back on that and looking back at how Garth built the team for 2020, bringing in Joao Paulo, bringing in Yeimar Gomez-Andrade, you know, the team obviously was geared up, ready to take a run at CONCACAF. Didn't work out. So I talked to Garth yesterday really deep about how he's going to build out this roster for the start of 2022 and for that campaign where they'll be playing CONCACAF games right on top of MLS regular season games, because the regular season is going to start in late February, obviously, because you'll have the World Cup starting in late November. So everything gets shifted up in 2022. Season starts in late February. So there's really not that much of an offseason. We always say that, but this year is even more true than ever. There is not that much of an offseason. So how will Garth build this team for a CONCACAF run in 2022? That is a very interesting answer you're going to hear from Garth in a matter of moments. You're also going to hear from the winger and forward, Jordan Morris. Morris and I had a chance to catch up as well, so you're going to hear from Jordan. We hear a little bit from Brian Schmetzer yesterday with Softy and Dick with injury updates to the three big stars who were all out for Vancouver, Raul Ruiz Diaz, Joao Paulo, and Nico Ladero. We have good news on two of them, not so good news on one of them, so stay tuned for that this segment. And then we'll wrap up the show talking to Andrew Harvey. He's, of course, the Tacoma Defiance play-by-play voice. He's also our NWSL correspondent. And the OL Reign, who finished second place, they are hosting a semifinal game this Sunday at Cheney Stadium. They're hosting Washington. So you can head down there to Cheney Stadium coming up this weekend to watch the semifinal game of the NWSL. So make sure to watch for that. That interview coming up a little bit later on tonight, where Andrew and I will wrap up the Defiance season. Unfortunately, their season's over, did not make the playoffs, but a good chat about everything going on down there in the South Sound. But going back to the draw against Vancouver very quickly, you know, it's a game where you start off so strong, you get the penalty kick for Freddie Montero. He hits it against his former team in the 8th minute, and then they equalize in the 20th minute, you know, a defensive lapse where Ryan Gold is able to just head it in. And, you know, I think you could argue that Nuhu should have been a little bit tougher there in terms of heading it out, but nobody was marking Ryan Gold, who was running right there where the header was popped off due to the right. And then, boom, he's there to head that what is off the bar. And more bad luck. We talk about bad luck for posts and bars and stuff, but Ryan Gold's able to head it off the post, off the right post, and it goes in the back of the net. It's 1-1. And from there, you know, obviously the Sounders were playing without, as mentioned, their three stars, not able to get a result there, or not able to get a win, I should say. So they finished second place in the Western Conference. And your Sounders will begin their quest for a third MLS Cup on Tuesday, November 23rd at 7:30 p.m. So 2 weeks from yesterday, 7:30, our pre-match show, it'll be over on 1090 KJR, will be at 7 o'clock. They will be hosting Real Salt Lake in round one of the Audi 2020 MLS Cup playoffs. Now, don't miss your chance to catch the Rave Green during their 13th consecutive consecutive. It's just amazing to say. Their 13th consecutive playoff appearance, and get your tickets today to that match by visiting soundersfc.com/tickets. Straight ahead, the 2021 Sounders FC playoff campaign is presented by WaFed Bank. Get the Sounders Rewards credit card from WaFed Bank to score exclusive fan experiences, team swag, and more. One more note before we hear from Sounders General Manager and President of Soccer, Garth Lagerwey, and that is that Sounder fans, even the greatest athletes, make sure to take the time to catch up with their friends over a Michelob Ultra, because they know that the joy is the whole game, not the end game. Michelob Ultra, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. So now getting into the show tonight, you know, as I mentioned, Garth Lagerwey and I chatted for about 35 minutes. We split the interview up into two parts. A lot of information here. This first segment, we really dive deep into the game against Vancouver, whether he is glass half empty or glass half full. You know, I think that's kind of the interesting dichotomy right now of what you care about more. Do you care about not getting the number one seed, you know, no wins in six straight, or, you know, you got Cascadia Cup, got the CONCACAF berth. We get into that CONCACAF, as I mentioned. There's some interesting info there. I also asked him a little bit of a fun question about the situation going on with Kansas City and VAR and how mad Peter Vermes is now because they didn't get a handball call in the box there on decision day. So it's always fun when you get a little bit of karma there after what happened with Tim Melia. So a lot of information here in our first part of the conversation with Garth Lagerwey. Let's take a listen. Coming up a little bit later on in the segment, we're also going to hear from head coach Brian Schmetzer. But let's hear a little bit right now from the Sounders general manager and president of soccer, Garth Lagerwey.
I'm doing all right, Jack. How are you?
I'm good, Garth. Let's start and let's continue the conversation we were just having about the 1-1 draw up there in Vancouver. You know, there's a couple ways of looking at the situation right now with the Rave Green. 0-3-3 in the last six. Get the second seed in the Western Conference. It's another draw up there in Vancouver. Weren't able to get the win. On the other hand, you get Cascadia Cup again. You retain that. You get a CONCACAF berth, which we'll get into a little bit more later. And you still could have two home playoff matches. So where is your glass right now, Garth? Is it half empty or half full?
Well, look, we didn't finish last year in the most glorious fashion either, and we want to make it a run to MLS Cup, right? So let's hope history can repeat itself and we can take a shot at winning this whole thing. So certainly a good season overall, right? You know, I don't think there have been a lot of 60-point seasons in Sounder history. So proud of that. And being in Champions League, that's a significant step for the organization again. And, you know, look, we have, as you said, we have the potential to host a playoff game, right? So I think the other stuff doesn't matter. You gotta win the first one for anything else to happen after that. But, you know, getting a chance to host a playoff game, that's a good thing. We get our fans in for another big game with a lot on the line and a tough opponent at RSL. I think historically, RSL's won as many playoff series as the Sounders have head to head. I think maybe it's 2-2. Maybe the Sounders are up 3-2. So it's going to be a tough game and we'll get ready for it and try to get as many guys healthy as we can and take a shot at winning the thing.
Yeah, we will talk more in depth about that game against RSL next week because the Sounders don't play that playoff game until November 23rd, Tuesday the 23rd. So there is a while before that game. And you mentioned getting healthy right there, and it is a while before the next game. So the million-dollar question, Garth, is, you know, you've been mentioning all season long about taking care of these guys, making sure they're healthy for the playoffs. And, you know, three of your big guns out there for Vancouver, Raul Ruiz Diaz, Nico Ladero, Joao Paulo, you know, where's their confidence at that those three guys will be ready to rock and roll for the 23rd?
Well, let's start with a positive first, right? Jordan Morris is getting better and yes, getting stronger and gotten minutes and is in a position where he could potentially start a playoff game. So that's really encouraging. That's a big piece to have back for us. You know, in terms of the other guys, you know, we were cautious with them with respect to the Vancouver game. You know, we took that bigger picture that you referenced and we've talked about for a long part of the season. And, you know, with knowing that we were going to be able to host a home game, we really wanted to make sure we gave those guys the best chance to be ready for the playoffs. So, you know, that's the approach we took, and hopefully that'll pay off. Those guys are working their tails off right now to try to get back, all of them, Nico, JP, and Raul. And obviously we're rooting for them, and we'll make responsible decisions with their safety. But all those guys want to play. They all really want to play. And, you know, they all really want to win a championship. And, you know, we can't ask for more than that. And we're going to do everything we can in our power to get everybody on the field come the 23rd.
All right, well, hopefully so, and hopefully those guys can get back. And we're using that word hopefully. We'll get another update from you next week in terms of those three guys for the 23rd. We are exactly, just under 2 weeks away from the Sounders playing RSL there in that first-round playoff game. Now, let's go back and let's talk about, another positive that came out of Sunday, which, as you mentioned and we mentioned earlier, the CONCACAF berth. And obviously, 2020 in that tournament didn't go as planned. So how do you go forth and plan out this offseason ahead, knowing the schedule that's going to be in effect next year with a World Cup and with CONCACAF Champions League? So how do you go forth into this offseason and plan it out to get further in that tournament than you went before?
Look, I think you got to look at the big picture of everything, right? And some of your preparation depends on how we do in the playoffs. If we go out in the first round, then we got a little bit longer offseason. If we're able to go and win MLS Cup, then we're going to have a shorter offseason. So I think you got to, I don't mean to avoid a direct answer, but I think you have to wait and see. Mm-hmm. And I think, look, the conclusions you make about the team are going to be based on those things too. There's just still a wild variety of outcomes that are possible in terms of the ultimate success of this team. And the guys are going to go out there and they're going to play. And, I always love what Brian tells them. Coach always says, it's your team and we'll go as far as you take us. And, that's very much true of this group as it has been of the past groups. And, we have the talent to win a title and we have the personalities in the locker room to do it. And, when you look at that, then, we'll do our best and we'll kind of work out how to prepare for Champions League after that. So one step at a time. And, we do have to look at too, Jackson, it's not just Champions League, but we continue to have three game international windows. Now this one in November is okay. That's a two game window. And you saw even in the player selections that the U.S. made, the two game windows are manageable. The three game windows are incredibly draining and tiring for the players. And we've seen our guys come back really fatigued from some of those three. So, MLS has done a great job of trying to get for the World Cup and still doesn't load up midweek games. I think we wound up with 11 midweek games, including Leagues Cup this year. And hopefully we're looking at, 3 to 5 next year. So I think that part helps. But again, we're still talking about, in every call-up, the talent level on our team is such that we're getting half a dozen call-ups per window most of the time. And so you need to be mindful of that and mindful of rotating the squad and getting those guys rest as we've done this year, and we need to be thoughtful about that as well.
So with that said, then obviously there's an emphasis then on having the depth, having a lot of players on the roster, because there's going to be a lot of guys out and they have all this fixture congestion and guys trying to get back from these three game international breaks. So that then puts the emphasis, I would think, on having a deep roster, and whether it's bringing guys in or whether it's bringing guys through from Tacoma, I would assume then we're looking at February of next year having a pretty deep roster compared to what we've seen, just to combat all of those factors.
Yeah, look, I think you'll see us likely with something comparable to the last Champions League roster. Okay. Meaning, we had always preferred to sign DPs in the summer because we felt like that was a better marketplace in general. But we signed JP before Champions League. We got that done in January. And any way you cut it, I think between with the guys we have currently on the team, our DP spots are going to be full going into January. So that part's already set. We got a couple of free agents that we're going to sit down and talk with after the season and see if they want to come back. But I would fully anticipate, Jackson, us having 25 or more players signed, maybe even at the beginning of preseason, depending on how some things go in terms of conversations with some guys. But I expect us to be able to return or have the option to return virtually everybody on this team. So we'll see how that plays out, and we'll see how we do in the playoffs. But we've been pretty stable from that standpoint. And again, we just keep producing younger players, and so we have more options coming up and coming through for next year as well. If you look at Sam Adeniran and Obed Vargas and maybe an Alex Villanueva, we'll see how it plays out in preseason. But we have options and we have a lot of good players, and we're going to continue to build it up and continue to build our strength and as a team.
Well, you mentioned those three names there with Tacoma Defiance. And once again, Garth Lagerwey is our guest, Sounders general manager, president of soccer. And, you know, Yamar Gomez Andrade, and we were talking about guys that we brought in before the last time in CONCACAF, and he was one of them as well. And for Yamar, he's one of five players on international duty this week before the playoffs begin. And he was called up by Colombia for the first time in his career. You know, to bring him to Seattle and to just see his growth and to see him become this absolute dominating player who's having a defensive player of the year type campaign this season. How satisfying was that to see his national team call him up for the first time?
That's great, man. You know, you always talk about when the team succeeds, then individuals will be recognized, right? And, you know, on an earlier show, we talked about, you know, getting six all-stars was a reflection of the team doing really well, right? And, you know, when fully healthy, having nine all-stars out there, half a dozen guys that are getting called to their national teams regularly, that's really a reflection of the team doing well and then individuals being recognized. So it's a credit to the culture at the club, and it's a credit to how hard Yamar's worked and the impact he's had. And, you know, he's in the running, I think, for Defender of the Year. So we'll see how he does there, but definitely proud of him and wishing him the best with Colombia. And look, it's even a good sign for MLS that someone who's come here and had consistently good domestic performances for a couple of years, you know, his national team, and not any national team, Colombian national team is really good, to be called up by a really good national team based on his performances in MLS. I think that's a good reflection of the fact that the quality in the entire league continues to rise, not just at the Spurs.
Well, yeah, it's just great to see Yamar getting that call up for the first time in his career. So awesome to see. And going back to decision day really quick, you know, you look at social media right now, and Seattle fans are I would say poking fun at many Sporting Kansas City fans. There's a wild situation. We all know what happened, Garth, with the Tim Melia situation where he essentially body slams Christian Roldan, throws him over the shoulder. And, you know, we didn't get the review on that. They retroactively go and they say, okay, yes, we're going to suspend Tim Melia for one game. And there was nothing in the mid-game to say it was a red card. So, of course, Seattle fans were up in arms. And then, what do you know? Decision day, Kansas City. There is a handball late in that game with Real Salt Lake, and they do not get the call, and Sporting Kansas City do not get the penalty kick. And what do you know? RSL go on to win that game, and Kansas City is now in third place in the Western Conference to finish the season. I mean, obviously, fans are right now of many different emotions and many different reactions, and I tweeted out that I am filled with joy watching Kansas City sit in the situation that they're in, and I enjoy listening to Peter Vermes a little bit. I would just love your take on this whole situation with VAR over the last number of weeks, from the Roldan situation to the situation on decision day. What's your reaction to everything going on with that?
You know, I think I refer to something that the coach says all the time, and, you know, the referees have a difficult job and the VAR officials have a difficult job, and to make these decisions in real time, very, very quickly under a lot of pressure, I think is always a challenge. And, you know, I also think that these things tend to even out over the course of a season. And, you know, to simply say that we have a high degree of confidence in pro and in all the referees. And I think they're going to do a great job in the playoffs. And, you know, that's all we can hope for. And we got to take our guys and focus on ourselves and, you know, play as hard as we can and play the best we can. And hopefully we'll come out the better team in the end.
Garth Lagerwey, Sounders general manager and president of soccer. Good stuff there in part one of our long conversation we had yesterday. You'll hear part two next week on Sounders Weekly. That show will be on Tuesday next week. Before we take a break, you heard me ask Garth there about the injury updates. He didn't have anything too definitive, but we did get some definitive answers from Brian Schmetzer. He was on with Dave Softemuller and Dick Fain yesterday, as he usually is on Tuesdays at 5:45. So he joined them last night, and they asked Brian about all of the three big players that were out for Vancouver: Raul Ruiz Diaz, Nico Lodero, Joao Paulo. Brian had very definitive words on all three of their statuses.
We'll start with Raul Ruiz Diaz. What do you make of his situation?
He'll be ready for the game. He'll be ready for that game.
Beautiful. How about Nico?
That one is a little tougher, but he is a tough kid. He's got to wait for that knee to stop swelling up. So that one, if I could get him across the finish line, that would be a heroic effort by Nico himself and the medical team.
How about Jao Paulo? What's his situation for Real Salt Lake for now?
He'll be playing. He'll be involved in that game.
So good news there on Raul Ruiz Diaz. Good news there on Jao Paulo. Not as good news on Nicolas Ladero. But as we've talked about on pre- and post-game shows this year, we haven't seen the same Nicolas Ladero this season that we have in years past. I think that that's a lot to do with the formation, and he's best as that number 10 in a 4-2-3-1, playing in the middle of that attacking three line. And this is a different system for Nico Ladero. He isn't in the middle. He's asked to do a little bit of different things. So I think you're getting less out of Nicolas Ladero. So listen, if Nico isn't available, listen, he wasn't available for most of this year, and this is still a team that never dropped below second place in the Western Conference all season. So I think they would be just fine without Nico Ladero, but it's great news there on Ruiz Diaz and Jao Paulo. Well, let's take a break here on Sounders Weekly, and let's come back and hear from Sounders forward and winger Jordan Morris. Before we do, I'll tell you, Sounder fans, 2022 season memberships are now available. Don't miss your chance to secure some of the best seats at Lumen Field for next season and gain access to exclusive member benefits. Learn more at soundersfc.com/memberships. We'll take a break and we'll come back and hear from Jordan Morris. That's next on Sounders Weekly on Sports Radio.
Now back to Sounders Weekly on your home for Sounders FC, Seattle's Sports Radio 950, KJR.
Welcome back. Jackson Feltz here. Good to have you with us on this special Wednesday edition of Sounders Weekly. Usually Tuesdays on 950 KJR during the Seattle Sounders season, but we're on a special Wednesday broadcast tonight because of the Kraken game last night here on KJR. So good to have you with us on this Wednesday. Well, thanks to Garth Logway there for our first part of the chat there in that last segment. Sounders getting ready for that playoff game against Real Salt Lake coming up in 13 days, 2 weeks from yesterday, Tuesday, November 23rd at Lumen Field, Salt Lake coming to town. Hey, you can stay up to date on all the latest developments surrounding the club's playoff campaign, including schedule and ticket information, by visiting the Sounders FC Playoff Hub at soundersfc.com/playoffs. Straight ahead, the 2021 Sounders FC Playoff Campaign is presented by WaFed Bank. Get the Sounders Rewards credit card from WaFed Bank to score exclusive fan experiences, team swag, and more. So earlier today, it was got a beautiful day here in Seattle. I had the chance to head down to Starfire Sports Complex, where the team practices and trains each week. And each day here this week, they're training Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Got a couple days off after that Decision Day game up in Vancouver. So it was a beautiful day out there, and I had the chance to go and spend a number of minutes with Jordan Morris, Sounders forward and winger. So we spent a bunch of time talking about his life off the field, on the field, in terms of recovering from the ACL injury and how he's feeling right now. We started off the conversation by talking about where the team's head at is right now. You know, 0-3-3 in the last six games, but is that even entering the mind of any of the players?
No, I don't think it's on our minds. Obviously, we know we have some stuff that we need to sharpen up and get better before the playoffs, but it's a whole new season now. So you got to forget about what you did in the regular season. It's about winning your games now.
Yeah, let's go to Vancouver there. Obviously, you get a bunch of playing time there. What worked, what didn't work for you guys to get the 3 points?
You know, they're a good team. Obviously, they only needed the tie, so it was a good result for them. But no, they're doing well. They're well coached and have a lot of good players, and made it difficult for us. And I think we just need to sharpen some stuff up as we move towards RSL.
So let's talk about you personally. Obviously, you get 30 minutes and then 45 minutes. How are you feeling coming back from this injury right now?
Yeah, I feel really good. I think fitness-wise, feeling good. These next 2 weeks will be good to build up the fitness and get a little bit more, obviously, closer to a 90-minute fitness level. I think the sharpness still needs to come. Obviously, that'll come with time. I know coming back from the last one, it's not going to be all perfect right away. So just understanding that, I think I got myself in some good positions in the game and just wasn't quite sharp enough, you know, in things that I normally feel like I'm pretty good at. So I think that'll come, but it might, you know, take a little time. But that's why this couple weeks here will be good to keep building.
For sure. You mentioned, you know, the last time you got injured and being able to utilize the knowledge of that. Take us a little bit deeper in terms of what you know now because you went through what you went through a few years ago.
Yeah, I think, the main worry when you get hurt is how you're going to come back, and if you're going to come back as, you know, the same player. And when I first got hurt, obviously never having gone through one before, you know, I didn't really know how I would come back. But, you know, I ended up coming back a better player. I learned a lot through my rehab, and so going into this one, I knew that, and, you know, even these first few games back when things aren't perfect, I know that it'll get there. I know that I'll get back to where I was and hopefully better. So I'm just, you know, have a lot of confidence that things are going to keep moving forward, and that's because of, you know, going through the last one, I think.
One of the things we talked to you about when after you came back, and it was, I believe, at the start of 2019, was what you learned about yourself going through that whole ordeal in 2018. So going through this again, did you learn anything new about yourself during this process?
No, it's just, I think, how to be mentally strong, and you know, things aren't always going to be perfect in life. Things aren't going to necessarily go exactly how you want. It's how you respond to that adversity, and I feel like that's helped me a lot, you know, growing as a person and as a player, and going through it twice now. I think, you know, you do learn a lot about yourself, and you grow, and obviously I wish I didn't go through them, but coming out the other side, I feel like I'm mentally and physically stronger. So
yeah, you know, Garth Lagerwood was telling us how, you know, you really turned the corner a while back when you had a second surgery to go in and clean some stuff up, and that's where you kind of really turned that corner. Take us through that and what that was like for you, seeing that corner get turned.
Yeah, I mean, this surgery was a little bit different, so there were some different pains that I was feeling, and so things that I hadn't gone through the last time around. So yeah, it was obviously a little worrisome. There was a pain that was prohibiting me from getting back to my full speed, which I think when I got injured was the one thing I wanted to really get back, was get back my speed. And obviously now I know that I'm back to that. But at that point, you know, I was having some pain that was prohibiting me from getting to my max speed, which was definitely worrisome. So, but yeah, I had that second, you know, little operation and moved forward, and things definitely turned a corner, and I started building back up towards that top speed, which felt great.
So let's talk about off the field now. I mean, obviously, you know, on the field you've been just recovering and doing all that stuff. What's life been like off the field, you know, since, you know, the loan ended? You're back here, you're rehabbing all that stuff, but how's life otherwise?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I think going through an injury like that, you have to find stuff outside of soccer to take up your time and occupy mainly your mind, you know, because if you're just thinking about soccer all the time, it's going to drive you crazy. So, you know, I worked on some things. I went back to school.
What did you do in school?
I went back to try to finish up my degree, you know, some of my degree at Stanford, and they were offering classes online with COVID, so just went back and took some classes, and then got married a month or so ago now, and so definitely had some amazing things to fill my time and kind of get my mind away from the game.
So take us through the wedding. How was it? Well, you know, what was the best part of it? What went wrong? Every wedding has things going wrong. Take us through it.
Luckily, not too much went wrong. One of the shuttles was a little bit late to get us to the venue, but that was the only thing. So it was amazing. I mean, right when I got hurt, you know, we had a wedding plan for last December that had to get canceled. So right when I got hurt, that was kind of, we started planning because we wanted to try to find a silver lining in all this. The fact that we were able to get married was definitely a silver lining. And it was an amazing day.
All right, so then wedding gifts. Who gave you the best wedding gift of your teammates? Brian Schmetzer, by the way, said that his wedding gift to you was 2 days off.
2 days off, yeah. That was a good wedding gift, honestly. So, no, I mean, I don't know. I think some might still be coming. So a lot of it was, you know, close friends and family that could get away. Obviously, all my teammates were playing games and stuff, so they weren't able to come. But it was a lot of my, you know, really close friends and family that were there. So.
Well, nice. It looked beautiful. Congratulations again.
Thank you.
So now, I mean, obviously, you guys are training 13 days away here. You mentioned how the last six game, you know, it doesn't even enter the mind. So the focus now turns to RSL, a team that this team has faced a couple times this year. Obviously, you haven't been able to hit the field against them, but in early thoughts and early preparation for that, you know, do you feel like you're in a position to potentially go forward and start for this team if they need to?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely what, you know, this couple weeks we'll test out, trying to get my fitness up to get above. I felt pretty good in 45, and but again, that's up to the coaches, and I'll be ready for whatever role I'm given. If I'm able to start and they feel like I'm ready to start, I'd, you know, obviously, of course, relish that and be excited about that. But if my role's gonna be off the bench in the playoffs, that's totally fine as well. I feel like I can, be, you know, make an impact off the bench. So of course, my goal is to to be starting, and I'll work really hard during these 2 weeks to try to build my fitness up. But in the end, that'll kind of be a coach's decision.
Jordan Morris, Seattle Sounders attacker, forward, winger, wherever they need him, depending on how the lineup shifts around. We'll see if he indeed gets that start. It'll all depend on other availabilities from Brian Schmetzer last night, and we heard him just a little bit earlier on here in Sounders Weekly. Raul Ruiz Diaz will be available, so you're going to have your main striker back. So where does that leave the rest of the lineup? What kind of formation does Brian Schmetzer go with? All of these are interesting questions, so we'll have to approach those a little bit later on. But we'll shift gears here in Sounders Weekly tonight, and you know, normally for this last segment, we always take a deeper look at the opponent for the Sounders, which will be Salt Lake coming up in just 2 weeks from yesterday. We're going to take a deeper look into RSL next week with their play-by-play voice, Bill Riley. But coming up next, we're going to talk to Andrew Harvey, Tacoma Defiance play-by-play voice. He's also our NWSL correspondent, spent a bunch of time with OL Reign. So Tacoma's season's over, and for OL Reign, a semifinal game coming up on Sunday. So we'll take a deeper look into the Defiance season, and we'll also preview the Reign's playoff game, semifinal game coming up on Sunday. That's coming up next with Andrew Harvey on Sounders Weekly on Sports Radio 950 KJIC.
Now back to Sounders Weekly on your home for Sounders FC, Seattle's Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Welcome back. Good to have everybody with us here on this Tuesday evening here in Seattle. Thank you for spending it here with us this Wednesday evening, actually, because, of course, we had Seattle Kraken hockey on last night, Sounders Weekly on special Wednesday night tonight. So thank you for joining us here, usually on Tuesdays, as will be the case next week, leading into the Sounders playoff game coming up on November 23rd at Lumen Field against Real Salt Lake. We'll preview that more next week. We always have a broadcaster on to preview those games, but of course we'll have RSL's broadcaster Bill Riley on next week's show. So this week here for our final segment, you know, I wanted to take the chance because it has been a long time since I caught up for a longer chat with Tacoma Defiance play-by-play voice Andrew Harvey. And Andrew normally joins us for 60 Seconds in the South Sound, and we're going to talk all things Tacoma Defiance, whose season is over, and OL Reign, who has a semifinal game coming up in the NWSL. It's quite a Cascadia-centric semifinal there in the NWSL, so we'll get into both of those. But Andrew, appreciate you joining us again here today. How are you, sir?
Jackson, I'm doing well. Good to talk to you, as always.
Yeah, good to have you on. You know, the last time we spent some extended time with you, we actually didn't really talk all that much Defiance. We spent a lot of time talking about the horrible situation that was ongoing in the NWSL. And, you know, we hadn't really had a chance to talk some deep Defiance for a while. The season's now over. And when we had that chance to catch up at a little bit more length, you know, they were entering those final few games. And it was Oakland, it was LA Galaxy 2, it was Phoenix Rising, and you know, you kind of set the picture for everything that needed to happen in those few games. We know that Tacoma Defiance did not make the postseason, so take us through exactly how it all shook out there in the end, how close the Defiance were to making the playoffs.
Jackson, I don't know if you're a fan of the American comedy classic Get Smart, the TV series,
yes,
or the
course.
Remake, but the phrase "missed it by that much" has to be what comes to mind. Defiance finished unbeaten in their final four matches of the season, but unfortunately, three of those were draws, and it all came down to decision day, really. They went to Phoenix, they needed to win, and then they needed some help from further up the table. They needed Los Dos, LA Galaxy 2, and Oakland Roots to both lose, or, they could have gotten by on a draw against, again, Phoenix Rising, who just set the Pacific Division on fire. They actually were leading a half hour in when who else but Sam Adinerin put them up 1-0, but Arturo Rodriguez knocked in an equalizer. The match finished 1-1, and unfortunately, an Oakland win away on the final day was enough for Oakland to grab the fourth and final playoff spot in the Pacific Division. But it is far and away the closest they've been to making the postseason since they actually made it in their inaugural season back in 2015.
So it really was pretty close there, Andrew. And as we kind of step back there and talk about the overall season, I mean, because they were so close to making the playoffs, do you deem the season a success?
You know, I think it's tough to say, Jackson. Obviously, there's a pause in there. I think this is an organization that every year has always said that their goal is to make the playoffs. And they failed to do that this year. But I think there's room here to find success in that, you know, their final five matches of the season had real legitimate stakes. And that's something that we haven't seen in a number of years there at Cheney Stadium or at Starfire before that. I think there are a lot of positive takeaways, namely in individual performers and how this team came together. For his first full season in charge of the club, I think Wade Weber has a lot to be happy with. But you and I also both know Wade and know that he will be looking for more moving forward, particularly to avoid kind of the back half of the season slide that this team went on when they had that nasty run of form from September into October.
For sure, for sure. Well, you mentioned individual performances as something that you can certainly take out of this season. You know, Garth Lagerwey has mentioned Sam Adeniran. He's mentioned Obed Vargas. Maybe you can go into them and other individual performances that stood out to you this season.
Sure. I mean, Adeniran obviously leading the way, 13 goals, 2 assists for him. He's big, he's strong, he's really fast. He has a howitzer instead of a left leg. I can count at least 5 instances this year when a center back thought, oh, I'll just step in front of the Sam Adeniran shot from just outside the area and it'll be fine. And then that guy was limping for the next several minutes and in some cases had to be subbed from the match because it's unpleasant to get in front of one of his shots. So, you know, he's got a lot of upside and potential. Ray Serrano had a great season, 6 assists for him, was just a terror on the right wing, and really kind of came into his own and started developing aspects of his game that we haven't necessarily seen in the past. You know, Obed Vargas, huge upside, and again, still so young. I mean, he's just barely past being 16 years old, so there's a lot of room for him to grow. And the other name I'd call out for sure is Tom Brewitt, the Englishman who came in and had kind of bounced around the lower English divisions for a few years and wound up, after Taylor Mueller, being the automatic nod for the captain's armband. Played some center back, played some defensive holding mid, and really was a leader out there for this group. And, by the way, went and acquired his U.S. citizenship not too long ago. So would no longer occupy a theoretical international roster slot if the first team were to offer him a contract.
Let's talk quickly about one more defender with Tacoma Defiance before we shift gears and talk about O.L. Reign. Jackson Reagan is a guy that I have loved for a number of years. You knew this was coming, Andrew, because, of course, we have, with our own group of friends in Seattle media, you all know that I am very much on the Jackson Reagan train, as I have been for the last few years. He, of course, came into Tacoma Defiance. He still has the rights from Chicago Fire. They still have his rights. But Jackson Reagan, from what I've heard from Wade, and I would love your take too, seemingly as a center back, kind of come onto the scene and asserted himself as a really, really talented guy coming through this system if Seattle can go acquire his rights from Chicago. But what did you see from Jackson Reagan this year?
You know, it's not an easy thing as a defender, Jackson, to show up in the middle of the year and try to slot into a system. And Jackson got here relatively Jackson Reagan got here relatively early in the season, and fit right in. You know, the former Michigan man just looked the part. He's got the size, was a real threat on set pieces, but more importantly, was smart with the ball, was smart with his feet, knew where to send it, and knew, more importantly sometimes as a defender, where not to send it. So I think he's got a lot of upside and potential. He's 23. He'll be 24 early phase of next year if I have my math right in my head. But, you know, came in, started 16 games, played every minute of every single one of them, and has just looked steady, which is what you want out of a defender. So, you know, I'm sure the Sounders right now are mulling whether it's, not whether it's worth it, but what it would cost them to get his rights from Chicago. Maybe this is one of those deals that can get done for about the $50,000 of allocation money that is the minimum required by the league. You know, a little bit more, I think, would be a worthy investment.
I completely agree. I mean, maybe it comes down to a draft pick as well. I mean, something small, because I just can't see Chicago Fire wanting off that awfully much. I mean, for a guy in Jackson Reagan who's come up through Seattle, of course, and then went off to Michigan, is now back with Defiance. So, you know, and listen, you know, full cards on the table. It's not only because his name is Jackson. I like Jackson Reagan, everybody. Listen, I think he's a talented. He's a big center back. As Andrew said, he's really, really good with his feet as well. So watch for that being kind of a name. And I know, you know, know, we've kind of thrown some names. You know, Big Sam Rogers was one of the names of the young, talented big center backs coming through the system. I think Jackson Reagan is the real deal, but we will continue to see. Andrew Harvey's our guest. He's Tacoma Defiance play-by-play voice. He's also our NWSL correspondent, talking everything OL Reign each and every week during the season. And Andrew, the playoffs are here for OL Reign. It's an NWSL semifinal game coming up. They finished, of course, second place in the NWSL with 42 points. We'll talk about the season here in a moment. But before we talk about the season, let's focus in on Sunday's semifinal game against Washington Spirit. What do we need to be watching for in this game? How really can the Reign go forward and make a championship game out of this? And it's at Cheney Stadium, by the way, I should mention.
And it is at Cheney Stadium, and tickets, I believe, are still available. So if you haven't gotten one yet, jump online and grab one of those before they're gone. Jackson, the matchup against Washington is an interesting one. Technically, the Reign are 1-2 against them on the year, but it should be noted that that one is a 3-0 forfeit Washington was forced to deal with when they had too many players unavailable due to COVID and contact tracing. So technically, OL Reign has not beaten this club on the pitch this season. Having said that, I think there is a lot to be positive about this OL Reign side. Sofia Huerta led the league in assists. Bethany Balser finished second in goals scored. She had 9. And then Jess Fishlock, I think, was 5th overall in assists. So this is a dynamic attacking team that really can put a lot of screws to other teams defensively. It's just a matter of, are they going to be able to go out there and do it on the day? At home, late in the year, with the benefit of having a bye week for them? I think so. You know, it's just going to be a matter of pinning your ears back and going and getting it done. This is the first playoff opportunity for the club since the 2019 season, where they went and had a great game against the North Carolina Courage, who went on to win the league championship that year. So now it's a chance for them to get back in, and don't forget, this is Laura Harvey's, you know, newest bite at the apple at the helm of the club. She led them to the NWSL final in 2014 and 15 when they won the Shield both those years, but they've never pulled off the big one. They're not looking past Washington by any stretch of the imagination, but I think this is an OL Reign side that has reason to be confident that if they come out there and they play their best, they should carry the day.
Absolutely. So we'll see what happens Sunday at noon at Cheney Stadium. As Andrew said, tickets available. Head out there for the semifinal game. On the other side, meanwhile, Portland's also, they finished first in the NWSL. So we could have a Seattle-Portland NWSL final. But the focus is on Sunday and beating Washington. It certainly is. Let's quickly take a look back at this regular season. I mean, it was started in such a precarious spot, and I know we were talking and we did extended interviews middle of the season, kind of just asking the question of, like, you know, really, like, shouldn't they be higher right now? You know, obviously you mentioned Laura Harvey comes in and it's just absolutely skyrocketed from there. So you look at a 13-8-3 season overall, second place with 42 points, just 2 points out of first place from those Thorns. So I would think that you look at this season as a pretty big success.
I would say so. I definitely think it is a tale of two seasons, Jackson. Well, let's call it a tale of three seasons. There's the opening act with Fareed Benstidi still in charge. There's the span of matches where assistant head coach Sam Laity takes the reins after Benstidi is dismissed, but while Laura Harvey is still away in Japan with the women's national team for the Olympics. And then there's act three, where Harvey comes back in, the international stars all really start clicking, and frankly, this became a team that nobody wanted to play. I mean, they were only a couple of points away from winning their third NWSL Shield. Here's how I would sum up the third act of this season, Jackson. This is a team that has lost twice since July 24th.
Wow.
And jeez, in that span, they've only drawn two of their other matches. Everything else has been a three-point outing. So, you know, this is a team that is in form, has belief, and you can't look at the roster page and say that there's a lack of talent.
Hold on, one more time. Two losses since when?
July 24th.
That's absolutely ridiculous. That's pretty amazing. Well, obviously, major semifinal game coming up on Sunday. That's at noon. OL Reign facing Washington. Portland, meanwhile, on the other side of the bracket, they're hosting Chicago. So it's these top four teams here in the playoffs. For OL Reign, it's a chance to go to another championship there under Laura Harvey, and that will be in Louisville. Is that right, Andrew, the championship's played this year?
That is correct. Yep, okay. The league is still deciding to play games at neutral venues for their championship matches. I don't necessarily agree with the policy, but, you know, that is one of the things that they're working on. So, yeah, if OL Reign go through, then they're making the trip to Kentucky.
All right. Well, hopefully we are talking about that next week, Andrew. But until then, we will wish them all the luck this coming Sunday for the match there against Washington. Thanks so much, my friend. Appreciate all the extra time today here on Sounders Weekly, and we will talk next week.
Always a pleasure, buddy. Talk soon.
Andrew Harvey, Tacoma Defiance play-by-play voice. Great to have him on each week, usually for just 60 seconds, but lots of good info there on Defiance, and good luck to OL Reign this coming Sunday. Well, that'll do it for the show tonight. I want to thank all of our guests, Garth Lagerway. Again, you'll hear part two of that conversation coming up next Tuesday on Sounders Weekly, Jordan Morris, and then Andrew Harvey right there. I will tell you one more time, folks, that your Seattle Sounders will begin that quest for a third MLS Cup on Tuesday, November 23rd at 7:30 p.m. It'll be a 7 o'clock pregame over on 1090 KJR when they host Real Salt Lake in round one of the Audi 2021 MLS Cup playoffs. Don't miss your chance to catch the Rave Green during their 13th consecutive playoff appearance, and get your tickets today by visiting soundersfc.com/tickets. Straight ahead, the 2021 Sounders FC playoff campaign is presented by WaFed Bank. Get the Sounders Rewards credit card from WaFed Bank to score exclusive fan experiences, team swag, and more. So we will end tonight's show. One more note before I break, and that is that Sounder fans, even the greatest athletes, make sure to take the time to catch up with their friends over at Michelob Ultra, because they know that the joy is the whole game, not the end game. Michelob Ultra, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. Check out the podcast if you missed anything on tonight's show, sportsradiokjr.com, and also the iHeartRadio app. Just search Sounders Weekly. We'll talk to you next Tuesday for another edition of Sounders Weekly. We're counting you down. We're just under 2 weeks away from the playoff game against Real Salt Lake. That's coming up on the 23rd. But until next week, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you then. Fox Sports Radio coming up next.